The epistle for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always for you, for the grace of God that is given you in Christ Jesus, that in all things you are made rich in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so nothing is wanting to you in any grace, waiting for the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also will confirm you unto the end without crime, in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 9. At that time, Jesus, entering into a boat, passed over the water and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him one sick of the palsy lying in a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the man, sick of the palsy, be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, he blasphemeth. And Jesus, seeing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say, thy sins are forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then said he to the man sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and went into his house. And the multitude, seeing it, feared and glorified God who had given such power to men. Please be seated. Da pacem Domine. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The introit sets the kind of the theme for this Mass, reminding us and asking for the peace because we hope and we wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see that reference even in the epistle that St. Paul, he gives thanks to God for those who have a strong faith that are not wanting in anything because they wait for our Lord, that they wait for his second coming. And again, we see in the gospel how a strong faith is rewarded. And our Lord says to him, take courage. I think this is actually one of my most favorite parables that our Lord kind of gives. Or at least not a parable per se, but a lesson that he teaches to the scribes. Because here you have our Lord who sees this man coming to him sick of the palsy. And the first thing that he does is he cures him of his sins. He doesn't say anything necessarily about his palsy, his sickness that he has. But yet he forgives his sins. And then he reads into the hearts of the scribes because they think that he has blasphemed, thinking that here you have this man. And he says to him that he forgives his sins. Obviously for them, thinking only God can forgive sins, and so why is he doing that? Yet not knowing that, obviously he is God. But then our Lord comes back to them because he can read their hearts. He comes back to them and asks them the question, which is easier for me than to do? To forgive his sins or to tell him to take up his bed and walk? And so one, for the scribes, they should recognize that our Lord read into their hearts what they were thinking. But then two, from that our Lord asked them that question, what is easier for me to do? For me to forgive sins or to tell this person to arise and to walk. And so then our Lord does both. I mean, certainly our Lord had forgiven his sins previous to that. But then he also says to him, then from that, arise and walk, as a proof that our Lord could do both. And so for us, we may ask the question, well, how does that prove that? Because obviously, forgiveness of sins is not something that is seen. It is not that a halo comes over a person once their sins are forgiven. And so our Lord shows to them something material for them to see. And so in a sense that our Lord performs a double miracle, he forgives the man his sins, which they cannot see. But then he tells him just to arise and to walk. And from that, the people obviously recognize that miracle that takes place then and there. And so that was a proof that our Lord gives to them that he is able to do both. And yet again, even though our Lord performs this double miracle, how many of the scribes, the Pharisees, still would not believe. And so our Lord rewards, obviously, this faith, the strong faith that this man had as they brought him on his bed. And so, yes, he receives this double miracle for him. Certainly, with them coming with him on the bed, bringing him to our Lord, for them the intention was to be cured of his illness, of his palsy. But our Lord shows to him what is more important. To where sometimes the sicknesses, the illnesses are a means of sanctification of the soul. It is a means of purification. And so not necessarily will our Lord always cure us of those things. I'm sure there's many people that have gone to Lourdes, gone to these different places looking for a cure. Maybe haven't received the physical cure. And so for them, they wonder, okay, well, God is not listening to my prayers. Well, maybe more importantly, what has happened for that soul is they are cured spiritually. And that is what is most important for all of us. Because especially if we are waiting for our Lord, if we are waiting for his coming, if we are waiting for him to come to us, well, then he must find us ready. He must find us worthy for that. And so that will only be dependent on our spiritual life, the spiritual health that we have. Doesn't matter if we have illnesses, doesn't matter if we have sicknesses, doesn't matter anything at that point. The only thing that will matter is the state of our soul. And so that is why then our Lord shows very clearly what is the most important thing to him. Is he forgave his sins? And he didn't even say anything about the palsy. He didn't say anything about them bringing him with the bed. It was only after that the scribes think he blasphemes. Our Lord said, well, fine then. I'll just prove to you that I can do both. It was only after, in a sense, that they pushed our Lord to do that. Pushed him to do it. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. But again, he was trying to strengthen them, trying to help them, trying to make them to see that. But again, they're blinded by their pride, blinded by themselves, that they would not understand that, they would not see that. And for many of them, yes, they would go rejecting our Lord, even though he performs these miracles right in front of them. He shows the power that he has. He shows that he is God, and yet they still deny him. I mean, truly, that is a blindness. And so that is where, then, for all of us, we see these miracles that our Lord performed. And that should help us to have the confidence, the trust in our Lord. I mean, certainly that is where the peace will come from, that we are asking at the very beginning. You know, Da Pacem Domine, give us peace, O Lord. Give peace to us. That is what we're asking for. That is what we're beseeching God for. And we can say that is a hallmark of the presence of God, a peace that is given to a soul. The devil, on the opposite, will cause discord that is characteristic of him. But our Lord, on the other hand, there is the peace that is there. And so that is what we're asking for in this Mass. As I say, it's kind of the theme that is set in the introit. And so we ask for this peace. And how will we gain this peace? The peace of soul will come from being in the state of grace. If we're not in the state of grace, we don't have that peace. We have the worry, we have the concern. Is God going to take me? When is God going to take me? How am I going to get back into the great grace? How am I going to overcome these weaknesses, these faults? There is no peace for someone that is not in the state of grace. And so truly, the peace that we are looking for, the peace that our Lord gives to us, comes from His grace to our soul. And that is what we even see in the Mass, the kiss of peace. Is what it is referenced into, is what our Lord gives to us. And so as I say, this miracle, this double miracle that our Lord performs, He shows what is the most important thing. Yes, we have our illnesses, we have our sicknesses, we have our things that we're looking for a cure or whatever from. Maybe it's not God's will. The most important thing for us is the state of our soul. And so that is what we must pray for. That is what we must take from this example that is given to us. We're asking for the peace. We're waiting for our Lord. That is what St. Paul tells us. That we are waiting for Him to come. But for us to wait for Him to come, to be anxious for our Lord, just as we say, obviously, in the Advent time period, we must be in the state of grace for that. Because otherwise, when our Lord does come and He finds us unworthy, what will happen to our soul? So it reminds us of the importance of keeping our spiritual health good. Just as we go to a doctor for our checkups, we need to go to confession to make sure that our soul is in the state of grace. That we are ready for when our Lord does come. And so let us ask for that true peace to heal our soul. And that is what should come to us from coming out of confession, that we feel healed from our sins, that a weight has been lifted from us. If we make a good confession, that is how we should feel. And so let us pray for these graces. Let us ask God and beseech Him for that. And then therefore, let the peace of Christ be our strength. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.